this will. One thing I have appreciated about Cam and about Premier Wall is that when they have shared openly in letters, on email, or what have you, and you have gained just a glimpse into more than just what their politics are. You gain the real essence of who they are as human beings. And I have appreciated that willingness to share. You don't normally hear our politicians letting you inside and letting you know if they have a faith, and if they do, they say very little about it. But I have appreciated what Cam has said and what Premier Wall has said as well. And without further ado, we want to call on Cam Broughton to come and share with us. And once again, I express our sincere appreciation for his willingness to come out and share with us.
Does it work better if I hold the mic, or is this loud enough for everyone to hear? We're good? That's always, when you go into church basements and you give a speech, sometimes the microphones are great, and sometimes they're a little less than great. So it's good when the sound system is fully operating. Thank you so much, John, for the chance to be here. And when we chatted that time, and you mentioned the Achievers Luncheon, I was happy to say yes and happy to be here today as an opportunity to meet new people, and as an opportunity to share a little bit about myself and to get to know one another a bit better. And I fully understand that this is not a partisan function, and that the opportunity was extended, and I'm very happy to be here for that reason. And so I'm not wearing anything orange today, rest assured. I do have a few pairs of orange socks that I'll wear from time to time, but they're not on today. In fact, I wore a Tory blue shirt for you. I contemplated putting on a red liberal tie, but I thought I didn't need to be that formal for it, so I'm very happy to be here today. We just came through the Christmas season. We're into the new year, and Christmas seems like a little while ago, but my family, we had a great Christmas, and I hope your families did as well, and that you did as well. We were home in Saskatoon for a good chunk of the Christmas time. My parents lived there, and one of my siblings, another sibling who lives in London, England, actually. And then after Boxing Day, we went down to my wife's farm near Swift Current in the community of Stewart Valley. So we went down there for a few days, and it was during that really cold stretch, so we couldn't go outside too much, but there are quite a few cousins about the same age right now, so they had lots of fun running around and making all the cousins are fairly young, so you know, we're making our own traditions and having fun and making all of those memories. I'm married. My wife is Ruth Eliason, and she grew up on a farm close to Stewart Valley. Obviously lots of activity in the Swift Current area that she had growing up. We have two girls, Ingrid, who is 3.5, and Clara, who's 1.5. So we're busy on that front. Ruth works outside of the home as well. She works half-time in the health region. She's a music therapist working in palliative care in St. Paul's Hospital. So she's very busy she's busy all the time, but especially busy when I'm in Regina quite a bit, and our kids are in childcare a few days a week. So I do have a little bit of a cold that you might hear, because our house is a bit like a petri dish. Between the kids at childcare, getting everything that toddlers get, and my wife in the hospital, I do get a cold from time to time, but I'm being careful to wash my hands and not shake too many, so please bear with me if I get a sip of water as I'm chatting. Over Christmas, we also had some good news to share with our family. My wife is expecting again. So this summer, we'll hopefully have another child join our family. And the girls are really excited about this. Ingrid, who's 3.5, she's quite certain that it will be a girl. And she has already informed us that her top name pick is Shirley. So I met a Shirley earlier on, so who knows? I'm also reminded Tommy Douglas had a Shirley in his family, so it is a good name, but we haven't come to a conclusion yet. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so we'll see how that story unfolds. Whenever I speak at a church, and I don't speak at churches too often, but when I've had a few opportunities to speak at churches, I'm reminded of one of the first instances when I was speaking to a congregation. And it actually occurred when I was in South Africa. And it was during my university years, and I was over, I tree planted all my summers during university to pay for tuition and living expenses. But then I often had a nice chunk of time off in August. So I had a good friend in South Africa, and she invited me to come over and visit her family. And it was quite interesting because they're Indians, so South Asians, in South Africa for many years, and they're a Muslim family. So it was a very eye-opening experience for me living with a Muslim family for a month. But on one occasion, we drove to the north near the Drakensberg Mountains. And we were there with some other families, sort of at a retreat center, a holiday-type place. But it was Sunday, so I wanted to go to church. And so I sort of casually said this over breakfast. And then my friend's dad just said, well, here are the keys to the car. Feel free to take the car, drive into town, and find a church and go to the church. So I thought, well, this could be an interesting adventure. We'll see who I find or where I find to worship on this Sunday morning. So I pull into town, and it's interesting because I was driving a car, and as I said, I was staying with a Muslim family, so there was actually Arabic on the back of the car on a bumper sticker, and I was driving this car into the town to look for a church to go to. And I came up to one area, and I asked, well, where's the church? And I got some directions, they pointed me, and so I found a church, sort of a brick building with white lawn chairs as pews or as chairs in the congregation. And I said, well, I'm here to join for church. And they said, well, that's great, we're going to get started right away. So I sat down, and then, of course, there was some great singing, none of it was in English, but of course I was just enjoying the moment, and you could tell that they were singing praises, and it was a good experience. And then it came time for the sermon, and they said, well, it's our tradition in this church that when we have a guest, that they bring the message. And I wasn't quite prepared to give a sermon that day, but I got up to the front, and I can't really recall what I spoke about. I think it was something about encouraging one another. But I only spoke about 10 minutes or so. I didn't do a whole lot of public speaking, and I wasn't prepared to say anything. When I sat down, they all looked at each other like they were waiting for another 30 or 40 or 1 hour of speaking. But anyway, we returned to some singing, and the service went on. I wasn't able to stay for the whole duration. But so rest assured, I won't be speaking for an hour and a half. I probably used close to my 10 minutes already, but I will have a few things to share about myself. It's great to be here at First Baptist, and I have a few Baptist credentials in my background. When I was actually born in Regina, a lot of my upbringing was in northern Saskatchewan and then in Saskatoon. But I was born in Regina and lived a few years here when I was young. My family went to Hillsdale Baptist, and that's actually where my parents met at University Christian Fellowship, but I believe they were going to Hillsdale, and we have a Bible at home where I was dedicated, I think, there at Hillsdale. And then actually, some of my next contact with Baptists, of course, lots of contact growing up in Christian circles in Saskatchewan. But following grade 12, I went with a youth group to Latvia, and we were doing some youth projects while we were there. And I actually hadn't been baptized yet. So we were at a summer camp at one point, helping out with some of the kids' programming. And it was affiliated with Baptists. There was a Baptist minister there, and they said, well, we're doing baptisms on Sunday after the service. And I said, well, now's as good a time as any. So went down to the river by the camp and was baptized by a Baptist minister there after grade 12. So those are some of my Baptist credentials, perhaps. But most of my upbringing actually was in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Saskatoon. And so that's where I grew up going as a kid. My dad is from the Viscount area. So his dad was Hans Groten, who was an MLA from 60 to 67. For the CCF-NDP, representing the Watrous constituency. He lost the 67 election, and they relocated to Regina. My dad's background would be Norwegian Lutheran, though at some point sort of migrated to the Baptist, I suppose, through his university years. And my mom grew up in the community of Outlook, well, at a farm near Ardath, but Outlook is the larger town in the area. And she grew up going to the United Church, but then after some time, her parents were among the founders of the Alliance Church in Outlook in that community. My grandma, who is 94, still lives in Outlook, and I have cousins in that area as well. That's a bit about my church background, but I grew up in a very ecumenical setting and developed a lot of appreciation for different denominations. While I grew up going to an Alliance church, I'd actually say the biggest spiritual influence that I had in my life as a child was through Pioneer Camps, and then in university through University Christian Fellowship. So Pioneer Camps was the camping ministry of IBCF. And there was a number of people there that have really served as mentors to me over the years. In fact, one woman we just had over for supper at her house two nights ago, and it's nice to have those conversations with someone you've known so well for so many years. But for many, many weeks during my high school years, a group of friends, we'd do a carpool and head over to this person's house for a Bible study on Wednesday nights, and that was just what we did. So that really was a big part of my spiritual development and my spiritual formation, of course, in addition to the Christian upbringing that I had in my house growing up from my parents. And then following grade 12, I applied to university and I was accepted. I actually was at that time going to go into the College of Education to be a teacher, believe it or not, and I had been accepted. My mom's a teacher, my grandma's a teacher, there's a history of teachers in our family. But I didn't feel like that's exactly what I wanted to do at that time. So through my experience having been overseas, I came across an organization that existed at the time called Schloss Mittersill International Christian Conference Center. And this is it was a conference center in Austria affiliated with the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. And they have a volunteer program. And I spent a year there in the beautiful Austrian Alps volunteering at this Christian Conference Center. And it was another opportunity to, sort of like a Bible school experience, to receive training and living in community, but also to really develop an appreciation for other Christians. And when you're living together under one roof and you have really liberal Lutherans from Scandinavia, and you might have more conservative Romanian Orthodox people, and some Catholics from Poland, and some Baptists from whatever other country, it's a good time to have good discussions about faith and to ask ourselves why we believe certain things and why some things maybe are really important and other aspects are maybe more tied to culture than core beliefs around our faith. So those are, when I think back in my life of important spiritual moments and an important spiritual direction that I had, those are certainly some key times and individuals that I could think back to that really took the time to work with me and to spend time teaching and spend time discussing and becoming friends, which I'm very grateful for. My wife's story, she grew up on a farm half a mile from the Country Lutheran Church that her grandpa helped build. And so a lot of her childhood, they went to that country church. And like a lot of Saskatchewan communities, it's a mix of people. So half of it was Norwegian Lutherans and the other half were Mennonites. So they shared services, they just didn't agree on baptism, and they did their own thing for baptism, but everything else was done cooperatively. Just with the reality of numbers, when that church shut down and they no longer met every Sunday, her family goes to a Mennonite Brethren church in Swift Current, so that's, we're often down there visiting her family in the Swift Current area, and certainly appreciate going there. We still go to the country church, it's where I'll be buried, and we always have an Easter service and a Christmas service there, and it's still a community and a spiritual hub for all of us. I have to say, I've been to First Baptist before, actually, for one of the services, and you're a very helpful and friendly bunch. I'm home in Saskatoon on Sundays, because that's where my family lives. But for one reason, I had to be here in Regina for a weekend, but I had nothing Sunday morning, so I wanted to go to church. So my apartment's not too far away, so I walked down to First Baptist and sat down and was on the left side of the sanctuary singing and doing the normal church service. And then at the end, someone leaned forward and said, the tag sticking out of your shirt and the collar's flipped up. And I had my collar backwards the whole service. But she was very kind to correct this for me before I went out and greeted people. But I guess it's better to have a collar flipped open than a fly undone or something like that. So, but it is good to be here. And the hospitality that I've experienced here before, I certainly have appreciated. A common question, and I'm happy to take questions at the end, not of a partisan political nature, but if you have questions on what I said or anything else, I'm happy to talk about it. But the question that I most often receive, or very often receive, from other Christians, and often it's accompanied by the expression, you know, we're praying for you and our elected leaders, and we as elected leaders most certainly appreciate that, so please do keep praying. But I'm often asked, is it difficult, is it challenging to be a Christian and to be in politics? And so I've done some thinking about this, whether or not this is more difficult, or whether it's easier, or what is the reality of this. And I've come to the conclusion that while it has certain challenges, I don't think it's any more difficult than being a Christian in any other profession or in any other calling or in any other walk of life. And I say that because politics is fundamentally about people. It's about relationships. It's about making decisions. It's about serving in a particular role for the benefit of the broader community. But I think these are challenges that each of us have faced through our working careers and that we face on an ongoing basis. And whether we're a teacher, whether we're retired, whether we're a tradesperson, a business person, every day we're confronted with questions and we're confronted with scenarios where we are called to ask ourselves, what is the best way to respond? How should I be responding? What is the appropriate response? Do I treat this person how my gut reaction says I want to treat them? Or do I treat this person according to what we believe we're taught as Christians, what we believe as Christians? So these are the questions that we wrestle with, but I think these are questions that all of us should be wrestling with and all of us do wrestle with when we think about how we live out our daily lives, when we live with people, when we rub up against people, sometimes in conflict or sometimes in debate. So for me, it's not a question or it's not an issue of life being more difficult as a politician because I'm a Christian. But for me, it actually serves as a motivation and it actually serves as a positive influence. You know, I mentioned earlier that my grandpa was an MLA from in the 60s. So within our party, I come out, I guess my lineage comes out of the social gospel direction of the party. And it's that care for one another, it's that vision for a better province and a better community that spurs me on to action as a politician. You know, once I had kids, you know, this comes home in a much more real way. And when you look at your own daughters, and when I think about the future that I want for them, when I think about the opportunities I want for them, when I think about the community that I want for them, I absolutely want it for my own girls. But as Christians, we don't want it just for our own family. We want it for all the other families in our community, in our country, and around the world. That's what we're working towards. So for me, it serves as a motivating factor. Now, admittedly, there's different ways how we get to that end. And that's where we have political parties. That's where we have political debate. That's why we should have these things. We're blessed to have to live in a democracy and to have freedom of expression, to have good, honest debate. These are good things. And there are Christians on both sides of the aisle in the legislative assembly. And that's a good thing. We should have Christians in both parties. And I think sometimes in Christian circles, there's also, on the left and on the right, there's a tendency to think that, you know, Christians, if you're a Christian, you belong in this party. If you're a Christian, you belong in this party. That's not the case. Actually, I remember speaking at another church, and they said, well, everything you said was great, but you're in the wrong party. And he said it in a joking way. But I believe in the same way, you know, the devotional talked about, we all make up a piece of glass, about the broader picture. In the political context, I think we each make up a piece of glass. But each of us in our walks of life make up that broader picture. And each of us serves a purpose in living out our Christian faith in whatever circles we find ourselves in and wherever we feel called to be. So for me, being a Christian in politics isn't a hindrance or isn't a drag or a complication, but it really serves as a motivation. And the second component benefit that I would highlight of being a Christian and being in politics is that it provides a ground. And this is a benefit that is there not only for politicians, but for all of us who see faith as an important thing and receive meaning and receive comfort in our faith. And certainly in politics, there are ups and downs. Everyone knows that. There are days where the news stories bring a smile to your face, and there are days where sometimes you scratch your head a bit. There are days when the poll numbers look great and one party is popular, and there's days when the poll numbers don't look so great and you know that there's work to do. But I think a benefit of being a Christian is understanding that there is a larger purpose to things. Understanding that we're not called to know the whole picture, but we're called to know what we're supposed to do on a daily basis and to live that out. We're called to take one step at a time in relating to one another, one step at a time in understanding what it means to be a Christian in whatever walk of life we find ourselves in. So for me, it's a grounding, and it's a grounding in the realities of work, the realities of politics, the things that I really love and enjoy. But it's also a grounding in life, because none of us know what tomorrow holds. And knowing that there are some seniors in the crowd, you know this from your own life. You can think back to really joyous moments, and you can think back to moments where there's a lot of sorrow and a lot of despair. And I think just a few years ago, my wife and I, we have two girls right now, but we had a son who was born before Ingrid, and he was born premature, and he lived a little bit, but he wasn't strong enough to live. And so we lost this son that we named Magnus as our first child. And it was at that time, going through that sorrow, going through that mourning, is when faith often becomes the most real and becomes the most important. And it's looking back on that time where it serves as a reminder that when we're caught up in the day-to-day busyness of what we're doing, and we're caught up in all the things that consume us on a daily basis, that we look to those moments when things are very, very real and the presence of God is very real. And I remember going through that, someone gave a bit of advice, and I suppose it's scripturally based, but it's more or less just a good phrase. But when you go through something like that, you have a choice of either staying bitter or becoming better. And it's through having a faith and through believing and living out day by day that we can get better. And that's the promise that we believe in as Christians. So that's a little bit about me, my background of who I am, and a bit about how I found myself here today, and why I'm talking about being a Christian, and a bit about how I find being a Christian in the public sphere. So thank you so much for the chance to be here and share a few thoughts. And if you do have any questions or comments, I would certainly be glad to take those now. Thank you. Don't feel pressured. And if it's a partisan question, you can talk to me on the side. That's okay. Yes?
Totally off the topic, but when were you at Simon Fraser University?
Sure. I was at the U of S. I'll give a bit of background. I was at the U of S from 98 to 2002. I did an international studies degree at the U of S and a minor in political studies. Then at that time, I knew that I wanted to do graduate studies. I knew I wanted a master's degree and have that continued education. But there was no grand academic plan in my decision to go to Simon Fraser University. Ruth had gone out to Vancouver a year ahead of me, and it was more important to me to be in closer proximity to her. We weren't married yet, and I wanted to make sure that kept going well. So I applied to SFU, was accepted, and was there from 2002 to 2004.
I was a charter student there, that's why I was...
Okay. Thank you, Brad. We loved being in Vancouver, and actually we were just out, after Christmas we went out for a week to visit some friends in Vancouver and Washington State and had a nice time visiting friends over sort of post-Christmas.
Is there a Bible study in the legislature?
The question was, is there a Bible study in the legislature?
Yes.
There's a group that meets. It's primarily SAS party members that meet together. They have met in the past in the speaker's office. There is, as some of you would know, there's a group called House of Prayer that are daily in the legislature praying for us, and they're there every day silently, and we'll see them in the different galleries. And actually, the last day of the fall sitting, I thanked them for their presence and for praying over us and for us faithfully throughout the session. And so there's some MLAs that meet with House of Prayer people from time to time. So there isn't a bipartisan or bipartisan gathering of Bible study or gathering, but there is certainly discussions that happen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
How do you keep yourself from becoming cynical in your environment? Because there's so much to do, there's so much of people with different opinions, and so many times opportunities are blocked. How do you keep your focus in that?
How do you keep your focus when you face lots of roadblocks and there's all sorts of challenges, and how do you not become cynical is what's the question? Well, I think a few things. First, it's important to have that longer view and understand that whatever's happening on a particular day is part of a bigger picture and a bigger project. So to not expect everything to happen overnight, that's part of it. But to break down the work that we're doing into projects, into smaller pieces, into achievable goals, just to have a plan about what we want to do, and then just stick to that plan. So that's a big part, to stay focused on that. I think part of it also is to be surrounded by good people who are positive and to be optimistic, and that's something I believe in. And well, certainly on a personal basis, I know my wife Ruth provides a lot of that kind of input in our partnership and how she encourages me, and which I'm really appreciative of. I think it comes down to a bit also about how each MLA and each elected person figures out what kind of MLA or elected representative they want to be. And there's sort of, I see it as sort of two aspects. There's the one aspect where we need to be motivated to do good. We want to accomplish something, have a vision for what we want in the province, and know why we're doing politics. That's really important, because we need to be grounded and principled in what we're standing for and talking about. Then on the other hand, you also have to, I believe, enjoy politics, and I love my job. I love working with people, I love the challenges, I love being able to communicate with people. And you need those two things in the right balance. Because if you're only about wanting to do good, but you're not able to communicate what you want to do and express yourself and have a plan, well, then you just give good speeches. But if the politician is only about winning, if the politician is only about all the sort of the game of politics, then you're not grounded in why you actually got into politics in the first place, and why I wanted to be an MLA and be leader of the party. And so you need to find the right balance of those two things. And so I think it's also, you say, how do you not stay cynical? Well, I love my job, and it's a privilege to do it every day and to meet people and to be able to travel the province. So some personality types may not like that aspect of politics, being the competition or the debate aspects, but it's an important part of our democracy, and so yeah, it's a bit of a ramble there, but a few thoughts. Yes?
You know, it's like wonderful to have people from all different countries coming. How many different countries did you meet people from?
Oh,
what are some of the different countries?
When I was there, it was a real mix. A lot of quite a few North Americans, and then most of Western Europe was represented, and a lot from Eastern Europe as well. So it was well over a dozen for sure. I really enjoy doing international travel. I haven't in the last few years. I've certainly been doing a lot more travel in Saskatchewan through work, which I absolutely love doing as well. But when I volunteered in Europe after high school, it was a really important time. As I said before, my sister lives in London, England with her family, so we've had a couple opportunities to go over and stay with them and do some traveling as well, which we really appreciated. Another really important time during my undergrad, I did one term in Guatemala, living with a host family and studying Spanish and
and taking university classes there. So, any chance we have to explore the world, learn what goes on in different places, I think when we come back to Saskatchewan, it ultimately makes the province a better place, and it provides us with a lot more compassion and understanding for, we talked about the congregation that meets on Sunday afternoons in First Baptist. It gives us more compassion for people who have been born into circumstances that are much more difficult than what many of us have experienced. Yes?
How many, well, you could possibly be premier or something like that. You know, most politicians usually have a life before politics and a life after politics. What was your work life? Because I know, Laura Romano, he went on to do some advising for government and stuff like that. And he went on to do university stuff and so did Calvin. What did you do before as a working Canadian? What are you planning on doing, let's say, after?
Well, I was talking with someone the other day. An individual. He was talking about his life. He was talking about where he wants to be in 5 years. And I said, I can really relate to that because provincial politicians, we think in four-year terms, right? So we know, I know what I'm doing for the next few years, and then another 4 years, we'll see from there. It's to be determined. But my background, I did my BA at the U of S, and then a Master's in Political Science at Simon Fraser University. When I moved back to Saskatchewan, I worked for a stint in the provincial government as a civil service. I was a policy analyst in culture, youth, and recreation. At that point, I loved working in the civil service, but I was just recently married, and Ruth was home in Saskatoon working, and I was doing a week commute and living with my aunt and uncle here in Regina. They're very hospitable, but it wasn't exactly how I wanted to spend the first year of my marriage, living in my aunt and uncle's house. So I made the decision, I don't think I want to go down the career path of a career civil servant, though it's a very important one. And I said, I'm going to go back to Saskatoon and see what can happen. And then I went back and I was hired by the Saskatchewan Medical Association. So that's the professional association for physicians in the province, and I worked as their health policy manager for about 2 years. And what I did was I worked on the health policy from the SNA perspective, dealing with Sask Health for programs for physicians and that sort of thing. So it could be a something like that, but who knows? Yeah. I was first elected in 2007, and I would have been about 27 or 26. So I started politics. Comparatively young. There are young MLAs on both sides of the House, but I've been fortunate to be elected at sort of a younger age, and we'll see what the future holds. Who knows? But you want, in my view, in our caucus, you want to have good diversity. You want people from different walks of life. You want people that are in business, people that are teachers, people that are academics, people from the church. You want these different walks of life and people of different ages to have the experience and the wisdom to know what to do. So, and we do have a number of young members in our caucus. Trent, who's a Regina MLA, is about my age, and Warren is in the youngish category as well, and there are others, and then we have experienced people as well. So you want that mix. Well, thank you very much. I don't want to cut anyone off, but I've really enjoyed being here. Thank you so much, Patience, for the wonderful meal. Patience is around me, and I look forward to maybe coming back another time in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you so very much. As I was sitting there, I thought, well, I certainly hope we have made you feel welcome, and as I looked around and realize some of the politics that some of you hold. I know that there are some who think that you are the leader of the right party, and there are others who think you are the leader of the wrong party. Yeah. So we've created a balance. I was sharing with Doyle and with Cam that there is a history here with the NDP in that Tommy Douglas taught Sunday school here. His family used to sit up in the northeast balcony. There are two chairs in Dr. McKim's office that belong to Tommy Douglas that were given to the church. And he preached here in 1983, and we have that sermon on CD. Glenn Larson had a cassette of it and asked if we would be interested, and we had it burned on CD. And we also know that John Diefenbaker attended First Baptist Church in Prince Albert. So, you know, there's balance. There's balance. But thank you both very much for coming. Our routine is that if you can help clear off the tables, that would be